Hello, welcome to your meditation practice as part of the Open Heart Project. My name is Susan Piver, and I have a cat. We're both very happy to sit with you in meditation today. We're going to sit together today for 10 minutes, and we're going to start very soon. So please get settled, whether you're on a cushion on the floor with a cat or without a cat, with your legs crossed loosely in front of you, or in a chair. And it's equally as spiritual to sit in a chair, so that's no problem. And if you do sit in a chair, please sit with your feet flat on the floor. And as we get settled, I want to address an issue that I hear fairly frequently for two reasons. The question is, wow, I really like this meditation thing. I really am become very interested in Buddhism. I think I might want to become a Buddhist. How do I do that? So let me first just say, nobody has to become a Buddhist. Nobody. And this is in no way an effort to proselytize or convince or new. Forget about that. But the reason I want to answer it is in case you are interested, but also because I find that the answer to the question, how does one formally become a Buddhist, has a lot of information about how to keep your meditation practice healthy and alive and sustainable, whether you ever think the B word or not. So bear with me while I explain. You're being very good. Thank you. So first of all, if you are someone who thinks, oh, I might want to become a Buddhist someday, cool. Again, nobody has to do that. It's a very personal decision, of course. And the best way to determine, should I be a Buddhist, is kind of like the same answer to the question, should I marry that person? The answer in both cases, in my opinion, is sure, go ahead. If it is in recognition of something that is already true, meaning you already feel in your heart you are a Buddhist. You already feel in your heart, I am married to that person. And the ceremony is a formality, that an important formality, that recognizes something that is already so. So that's just tuck that away for future reference, should it be necessary in either case. But when one does formally become a Buddhist, nobody has to, it's called taking refuge. One takes refuge in what is called the three jewels. And these three jewels, this is the main point that I want to make here, provide refuge and support and guidance for anyone who wants to start a meditation practice or continue a meditation practice without ever having to become a Buddhist. So I'm going to explain what they are and then explain how they're relevant to our meditation practice. So the first jewel, the first refuge, is called Buddha. One takes refuge in the Buddha, but it's not taking refuge, excuse me, in someone outside of yourself, or a deity, or someone better than you. Ixnay, no, N to the O on that. When one takes refuge in the Buddha, one is taking refuge in the idea that actually you and I are exactly like the Buddha. We are starting on our path to happiness, to liberation, with the same trick bag as the Buddha, same tools, same constitution, same capacity. We're no different than Buddha. So he used those tools to attain complete liberation from suffering. Taking refuge in the Buddha is saying, well, I have those tools too. And if I want, if I apply myself, if I figure out how, I too can become enlightened. And that is not even a good way to say it, because one does not become enlightened. One already is enlightened. And any evidence to the contrary is an indication of confusion. So the effort to become enlightened is not the effort to acquire something new. Rather, it is the intention to let go of everything that obscures your inherent enlightenment, which is already present. So taking refuge in the Buddha is taking refuge in your own wakefulness. You're acknowledging, I am awake. Sometimes I know that, and sometimes I think I'm not, but I believe that I am. Or not even believe. I know I am. I just spent a lot of time being confused about it. The second jewel is called Dharma, which means path or wisdom or truth. And in the formal sense, if you were to become a Buddhist, which you don't have to do, it means taking refuge in this vast, and when I say vast, I am not exaggerating, body of wisdom, knowledge, extraordinary teachings that are now at your disposal to guide you along the path. They're at your disposal anyway, but they mean something different when you vow to take refuge in them, as opposed to simply study them from an academic point of view. So on another level, taking refuge in the Dharma means acknowledging that there is such a thing as truth and wisdom. It's not all just a subjective soup of, relative truth. It's taking refuge in the idea that, well, there are some things that actually are true, and they're always true. And when I seek to discover those truths, that puts me on a path. Now, this path is very important. Your path will not look like mine. My path will not look like anyone else's. It's very individual. It's very personal, which is one of the things that makes it difficult, is there's no like, okay, do these five things. You have to discover the path. But regardless of whether you formally become a Buddhist or not, you still have to discover the path. Because when you sit down to meditate, even if it's your very first time, something begins to change. Maybe very small, very nuanced. You may not even notice it. But over time, one notices, upon looking back, things are different. That's your path. Something is happening. Something's changing. You're on a path. So making some connection to that, to the path quality of your meditation experience, is important to keeping the practice rooted and strong and sustainable. When we ignore that aspect, and there are many meditation traditions that have sought, for various reasons, to take all the B stuff out, all the Buddha stuff out. Okay, I get it. We're, Westerners are scared of being in a cult and all that. That's cool. I don't want you to be in a cult either. But when you take out the wisdom teachings that gave rise to the practice, you are missing out on very important aspects of what makes the practice so magical. Hi, if things look a little bit different, I just had to take a moment and recharge the battery of my camera. So, as I was saying, when you take all the wisdom teachings, ignore all the ancient principles behind the practice of meditation, you're taking out a lot of the magic. You are saying, I want to do the practice that is the path to happiness, but I don't want to know anything about that path. I don't want to concern myself with it. I don't want to learn about it. I don't want to contemplate it. Well, it really helps to do all of those things. It helps you to remain enthusiastic about your practice. It helps you to understand your practice. It helps you to understand yourself. So there are all sorts of ways that you can contemplate and understand what begins to unfold for you in your meditation practice. You can read books, you can watch videos, you can join the Open Heart Project Sangha. That's what we do there. We take a deeper dive into the practice. So that's the second jewel. And the third jewel is called Sangha, which means community. And in the formal sense, when you formally become a Buddhist, which you don't have to do, it means two things. It means you feel some sort of a connection to the group in which you took refuge, because it's usually part of some tradition or another. But it doesn't mean you can't go on to other traditions if you want. But it also means you sort of stop hiding. I am becoming a member of my community, whether it's my Buddhist community or the community of human beings. I am not hiding anymore. This is me. And I'm joining the human race as me. Not trying to be someone else anymore. So that really helps, not just the commitment to just be authentic, but to know I'm part of something. That really helps keep your practice stable. I have been surprised to find that that is actually the most important part in keeping a practice sustainable, is to practice with other people from time to time. And do not ask me why, because it's a solitary practice, but if you go into a room and sit with others, or even if you sit on camera with someone, all you have to do is press play, hi, the practice begins. And when you think, well, I'm just going to make myself do it every morning, trust me, 99% of people find that very difficult. And the reason that 99% of people find that difficult, and I've taught meditation now to literally tens of thousands of people, is because they're only bringing one jewel to the table, the first one. Because every time you sit down to meditate, you are reestablishing a connection with your own wakefulness, your own Buddha nature. Cool. But the other two jewels, the wisdom aspect of the practice and the communal piece, are often thought to be optional. And sure, of course they're optional. The whole thing's optional. But if you want your practice to be deep and meaningful and to be transformative, those other two jewels are really important, however you can find them. So just I'll say this, I'm not trying to sell you anything, but the Open Heart Project Sangha has all three jewels. We have a regular meditation practice. We have courses and conversations and monthly themes that we explore and other teachers that come in and talk about these themes. And of course, we do it together from all over the world. So with that said, let's begin our practice. So our practice begins by taking a good seat, which means an uplifted, dignified seat. So sit up straight. Feel your own regal qualities. You're taking your seat like a king and or a queen right in the middle of your life, right now. Boom. Here we are. The hands rest on the legs, palms down. Let the hands really relax. They don't have to do anything during meditation, so you can let them rest. Really give your weight to the cushion or chair, meaning, of course, you're sitting on something, but I often have a sense of hovering. Like, what's next? Nothing's next. So just really feel yourself firmly planted on your cushion or chair. And while the back is straight and strong, the front body soft and open, because it just is. So let your belly relax. Let the area around your heart soften. Very tender. And relax the throat, because you don't have to talk, which is awesome. To be invited to be silent is a beautiful invitation. The chin is tucked a little bit, so the back of the neck is long and the mouth is closed, but the lips and teeth are slightly parted. The breath is natural, in and out through the nose, meaning no breathing technique, just breathing, which you presumably have already been doing since the moment you were born. So just keep doing that. And in our practice, the eyes remain open and the gaze is cast down to a spot in front, a couple feet or up to 6 feet, depending on how far your screen is from you. And this is just a chance to let the eyes rest. And instead of laser pointing, laser focusing on a point in front, let the whole visual field in. What can you see end to end without moving the eyes? Should feel like a softening of the eyes. Relax the brow, and the crown of the head reaches up a little bit. Now, all you have to do from here is feel yourself breathing. That's the practice. Feel the in-breath. Feel the out-breath. your body is breathing. And we want to like just let our minds rest on the sensation of breath. Coming in with the inhale, flowing out on the exhale. There's a tiny rest at the end of the exhale, a little gap. And then the next inhale just starts. You don't have to try. So you begin again to let your attention ride in and flow out. Your mind will continue to think thoughts because that's what it does, just like your ears hear and your eyes see. It's no need to stop thinking. In fact, pointless and irrelevant. Rather, allow your thoughts to sort of drop into the background, like they're happening in the room next to you. And in the foreground is your breath. Your thoughts will come and go, no big deal. 90% of them will not distract you from the breath, and you don't have to do anything about those thoughts. However, at some point, you may notice that you've become absorbed in thought to the point where you've forgotten about your breath. Now we want to do something, and here it is. Just notice that. I'm thinking. Let go. Gently come back to the breath. And take a fresh start. And it doesn't matter how many times you have to do that. So we'll sit together. Thank you so much for your practice. Thank you for practicing with me, and thank you for practicing together.